You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I hope to some small degree we have been able to bestow upon you the kind of energy that all of us have felt having been part of this very special fellowship this weekend in South Carolina, making new friends for the first time and seeing familiar faces from battles past. My friend right over here next to the counter, I've known him for... how long has it been? 10, 15 years? Something like that, going back to all these conferences. We were talking during the extended break in between hours about the Halcyon days. It was just such a boon time for our people in the early 2000s compared to now when you could actually rent a hotel and be able to have your most basic civil rights not be infringed upon. You could actually gather together and engage in the practice of free speech and the freedom of assembly. Well, all that's gone now, unless you will it not be. And that is, of course, the kind of community that is being fostered here in South Carolina. The event that I have been at this weekend that we're broadcasting live from is a private gathering, so we're not going to tell you exactly where in South Carolina we are. This is a new endeavor, a new facility. But it is it has been par excellence, and so again, great to make new friends, see people for the first time, and also see people that we've known for quite a long time, and it's and everyone in between. And I don't know what they've got in the water here, but all the young men here look like they're teenagers, and there they are in their 30s, or very nearly that. I said we've got the Benjamin Button effect going on in South Carolina here, but we've got, you heard from Hunter earlier in the second hour, and now I got Matt, and Matt is with us, and he's another one of these guys that is getting married and having families. Hunter was telling me a moment ago during the break that he and his wife are expecting their first child. He is the same age as I was. When I had my daughter, my first daughter, Isabel, who is 10, and of course we have Henry, who's 6, and then we have Caroline, our newborn, who has been here for most of the day, not here tonight, but has been here for most of the day. And I think 30 is a good year to have them. You got a little bit of experience. You've feathered the nest a little bit, and now you're ready to start building the family. We were talking about how you get to 2.1. Now you exceed replacement level fertility, and you can't get that 0.1. You just got to go all in and get the whole. When we made it to 3, that was a very special thing, and I know these good men here will do it as well. Well, Matt is with us now, and Matt, I didn't have the opportunity or the privilege, I should say, to meet with Hunter's wife earlier, although she was here in passing. I did, for a brief moment, get to meet with Matt, and she looked every bit, and I mean this with every compliment that you could imagine, the typical South Carolina girl. And these are beautiful women. They're wholesome women. And you can see the goodness radiating from their presence. And congratulations to you. It's great to meet you today. Thank you, James. It's great to meet you.
It's great to be here with you.
Well, introduce yourself to the audience, my friend.
My name's Matt. I'm a sixth generation South Carolinian. My family has been, or a portion of my family has been living in the state of South Carolina since about 1763, and we also lived in, or my surname comes from Tennessee. They lived there for a long time and then made their way to South Carolina, but grew up here, went to every school my dad went to, lived in the same house he grew up in, and my roots run deep around these parts.
Yeah, that is a very interesting story. It's so interesting when you meet people that you previously were unknown to you, and you have such similar upbringings. My father still lives in the house that he was raised in, and my grandfather and he built a home that I still lived in just until a couple of years ago that I was raised in. And so that is something unique about Southerners, you know, the traditions and passing things down, not just healthy mindset. And that's the thing. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about things that are natural and healthy and good and decent and righteous and holy and all of these things. And you pass that down to the subsequent generations. But also even property and homes and things like that is just a beautiful story. Southerners are just such unique and wonderful people. And I'm sure you have. Well, you mentioned South Carolina back to the 1760s. I was talking in the previous hour about how Mike and during the war were in Mississippi, and then it was my maternal and paternal grandparents who were the first generation of my kin to move to Tennessee, where they had my parents, and then my parents met and I was born. But we were in Mississippi for as far back as you can trace, except for when they got off the boat. You can't land in Mississippi.
That's right.
Well, I guess you could have if you come up through Florida, but nobody did that, of course. Mm-hmm. They landed in South Carolina, and from South Carolina to Mississippi in short order in Mississippi up until just about the last 50 years. Coming up to Tennessee, but of course we still have a ton of relatives and kin in Mississippi. But it seems like with the South Carolina experience, even for me, in terms of our people disembarking here and then making their way down to Mississippi, where Pat Buchanan's family was from, by the way, Mississippi. Pat's been on this show several times, and he has shared the story with me about his Confederate ancestors, and they're buried in the same county that my kin were from. So. For anybody that's interested in that. But talk a little bit about your heritage in terms of during the war between the states.
Well, my heritage, I've probably got 6 or 7 Confederate ancestors from just the upstate of South Carolina. I have everyone but one that was born in the era of it that fought, all of them fought for the South. I had one wander to Mississippi, and he was in the Army of the Trans-Mississippi, but most all of them fought for the Army of Northern Virginia, and just good, strong men.
Fighting for Lee.
Oh, yeah.
My ancestors fighting for Forrest. I mean, these are the Titans. They're a lot of great heroes of the Confederacy. I mean, the Confederate sniper Jack Henson. I mean, you've got people like D.S. Job, who had his eyes gouged out and his tongue taken out to reveal him, tortured, dragged to death behind a galloping horse to reveal. You got all of these great heroes. I mean, all of them were great. Even the unknown Confederate. I was down and we were talking about Jefferson Davis a moment ago. I was down at Beauvoir. They've got a great Confederate cemetery there, a tomb to the unknown Confederate soldier there. Every one of these men is worthy of every accolade and honor and esteem that we would bestow upon a Lee or a Forrest or a Jackson. But when you think about the Southern Titans, there are only, you know, so many that reached the household name.
Yes.
And for great reason. But, you know, fighting for the Army of Northern Virginia, could you imagine?
My second great-grandfather, L.P. Davis, he's from Conestee, South Carolina. And he was actually there in Petersburg when the crater went off. And the only reason him and 5 other members of their unit didn't die was because they went and got water down by the creek. But they said the blast was so strong that they were bleeding out of their eyes and their nose and their ears, and then had to go pick up their rifles and go fight.
How in the world? I'm sorry, Matt. I mean, we're engaged in such conversation here. The first break of this hour is coming up. Let's pause it right there. Yes. I mean, that's a poignant thought and a picture that you paint. Let's continue with the sacrifice of the men greater than us, men who we seek to emulate and in some small way. As we said earlier in reading the quote, I'm not going to be ashamed of my Confederate ancestors. I don't want them to be ashamed of us. We'll be right back.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is, again, a show I'm going to remember, a show that is going by far too quickly. We're already 2.5 hours into our 3-hour broadcast this evening, live from South Carolina, a state that I've had the opportunity to travel to on several occasions, the first of which was for that burial of the crew of the H.L. Hunley. What an experience that was to be there for that, to see that, to take part in that. We came back several times more to just tour Charleston and visit the Confederate Museum there and all the sites, and go, you know, you can actually go see the Hunley. You forget the, don't forget it, but I mean the burial was one thing, but you can actually go see the ship itself. And I had some great times in Charleston. I've been in South Carolina on a handful of different occasions to give speeches at different conferences and gatherings, but this is next level, what we've experienced this weekend. And it's been several years since I last came into the Palmetto State, and we're looking forward to making it a regular stop as we go forward. But we were talking with Matt a moment ago about his Confederate heritage and his ancestors. You talked about Petersburg. I had ancestors who fought at Shiloh. They said the South never smiled again after Shiloh. But to have people who fought for Lee, who fought with Forrest, who battled at Petersburg, battled at Shiloh, these are some of the most iconic battles in the entirety of not just the war between the states, but in some ways the history of the world as it is. So I asked myself, how can we do less? How can we do less? Even our best efforts and sacrifices are filthy rags compared to the men who literally gave their lives and put their lives on the line.
Yes, sir.
They were lucky enough to make it through the war. This is nothing. People say, well, you make this sacrifice, you do this show, it's nothing. It's the least I can do. It really is the least I can do to make them proud. I wish I could do more, and if the opportunity ever arises to where we can do more, as they were able to do more in that time and in those set of circumstances, then I'll certainly be there if I'm not aged out. We were talking about all of the ancestors you had, you mentioned, who fought for the South. To a man, every one of my forebears who was of fighting age, and by that I mean who weren't babies or who weren't elderly and infirm and could barely walk, they fought and they bore arms for the South on all sides of my family going back to that time. They all fought to a man. That's something. You had it. I asked earlier, what happened to the nation that produced men like that? Mm-hmm. They did their duty. It wasn't a thought. They didn't think about, well, you know, the northern newspapers might pat me on the head if I disavow
my – They did it with
pride. They didn't even think twice about it. Now it's just – it's like pulling teeth to get men to do their duty, but not here, not this weekend, not at this place, and what can happen here. Courage is contagious. So is fear. Let's encourage others, and let's be courageous and set an example, and other men will follow.
Yes, sir. And
– Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and like – you want to continue your pride that you have in your ancestors, and you want to, it flows out of you. And it's like when I was first waking up and trying to find where I belong in this world, and like Hunter, me and Hunter have been friends for several years now. I met him back in 2016, and we kind of just clicked. We had kind of the same mindset. We knew where we were going.
Y'all could be brothers.
Yeah, I'm the better looking one. And so, but we just had that instant click, and we actually learned a few years later that our grandparents or our grandfathers worked in the same plant together. They knew each other. And
cotton.
Yeah, cotton industry.
Doesn't surprise me.
Welcome to the South. Everybody work together.
I have had situations like that throughout the years where you meet somebody. Instant kindred spirit, and then you find out later on that there's a connection there that you would have never known. I do believe that certain people are drawn together, that it is no mistake that we are here with this particular set of people at this particular point in time.
God puts us in a place for a reason, and he's put me here. I met our host on October 3rd. I won't forget the day.
Of this year?
Of this year.
That was like a week ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I can't tell you how much he has impacted my life in such a short amount of time and everyone around us. And so it's with a lot of thankfulness that I am, because, I mean, just earlier this year, I mean, you almost feel empty if you don't have people around or that have the same mindset as you. You know, I had Hunter, me and him talk all the time. But now there's a community that has been formed, and we all have each other. So I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. And I hope it continues and does nothing but get better, and I know it will.
Well, it has to continue. We owe it. Look, we don't exist to honor the men who fought and served and died for our people in a four-year period, although the example that they set, the courage and the heroism, I mean, that is above and beyond the efforts that most can give. But it is not just them, although they are such a big part of it. I mean, for me, such a big part of my identity is my Southern ancestry. I mean, obviously, it has to be. It goes to the very fiber of my being. It's not just, as I said before, it's not a hobby. It's not something I like. It's not like a team that I cheer for. It's in my DNA. It's in my genes. It is in the very fiber of who I am. Not just as a physical being, but as a spiritual being, but it even goes beyond them. It goes beyond them. It goes before them. It goes all the way back to our ancestors in Scotland and in England and in those windswept isles of northwestern Europe, all the way back to the Celts. As Michael Hill, my good friend, has written about in some of his books, I mean, it goes back to those people and beyond. So what I'm saying is, we fight not just for our past, and our past doesn't stop at 1860 and 1861. It goes beyond that, but we fight for all of them. We also fight for our present. We fight for our wives. We fight for our friends. We fight for our children, but we are also fighting for our future generations. This is something that there is a timeline and a continuum that goes back to our Confederate heroes. It goes back to our Celtic forebears centuries before them. It exists now with the people in our home, and it will, God willing, our people still exist and survive on this planet, and they won't unless our efforts are successful, unless there's people like us who set an example. We will not survive to live as far into the future as we can see back into the past. But if we do, it will be because we fought, and we are fighting not just for the past and the present, as I mentioned, but for those future generations. Without the people like these guys that we're talking about tonight, we wouldn't be here today. We exist because of their efforts, and if it's not for our efforts, the future will be snuffed out by very evil and very hateful. There is evil and there is hate that exists in this world, and I can promise you it is coming from our enemies and those who oppose us in our existence, and not from the people that I have shared in fellowship with this weekend. I can tell you that.
Amen. Yes, sir. I've had a great time this weekend. When we turned the corner and saw the crowd that was here today, I was just, you know, I was baffled. I couldn't believe. I was glad, you know, but I had no idea that this many people would show up to an event that, you know.
Completely word of mouth. I mean,
yeah, word of mouth.
There's no existing organizational structure.
Just a few weeks old.
Right, right. I mean, just a few months, a couple of months. And I got here early before the whole thing even kicked off at around noon. Now we are here now at 9:30 Eastern time, 8:30 back at the home studio. And I got here a little bit before noon, and I said, wow, at the crowd, at a little bit before noon. And he said, well, they're just starting to get here. I said, if this is all that comes, this is already incredible. And you, again, we're talking about 200 or 300 people minimum. I mean, that's just I always like to shortchange it. That's the least that came today over the course of the 12 hours. And we're still going strong. We'll be right back. We got to take a break.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has now passed 12 million total coronavirus cases since the beginning of the pandemic, after setting a new daily high Friday with more than 195,000 new cases confirmed. Dr. Amish Adalja is a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and he tells CBS News that the reason the U.S. is having such a hard time clamping down on the pandemic is a lack of infrastructure surrounding testing.
We have to be able to test ourselves almost on a daily basis, maybe even at home. We brush our teeth, test ourselves, and know what we can do that day. We can't do in November in the United States what Taiwan, South Korea could do in March. So this really is the reason why we're seeing these surges. And then you have pandemic fatigue on top of that. So it's really a conglomeration of activities, but it's still, we can't do the basics in public health in this country.
This is USA Radio News.
For over 3 years, you heard me rave about the MyPillow Premium Pillow from Mike Lindell. You heard how they don't go flat. You can wash them and dry them. They maintain their shape, and they are made in the USA. Well, now you can get the best deal ever on a MyPillow Premium Pillow, the ones that started it all. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings, and king-size pillows are only $5 more. This is the time to buy, because that 60-day money-back guarantee is now extended to March 1st, 2021. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio offer square. Use my promo code USA. There you'll find this special and savings, deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. But only if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio offer square, and use my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175. Tell them you want the USA Radio special on MyPillow Premium Pillows.
Police in Wisconsin say they're still searching for a suspect in a shooting Friday at a suburban Milwaukee mall. Wauwatosa police say they are looking for a white male in his 20s or 30s in the shooting that injured 8 people. After interviewing witnesses, police say they believe the shooting was a result of a confrontation. The largest city in Canada will go into a lockdown as coronavirus cases in the city are on the rise. Starting Monday, the city of Toronto will go into a 28-day lockdown where outdoor crowds will be limited to 10 people, indoor gatherings of people from different households will be banned, and businesses will be banned from holding indoor gatherings. Restaurants will also move to takeout only, and grocery stores will be reduced to 50% capacity. Schools, however, will remain open throughout the lockdown. The city recorded several hundred new cases this past week and set new record highs of COVID cases. Ontario Premier Doug Ford says he's ordering the lockdown in Toronto to contain the spread of the virus so a province-wide lockdown doesn't become necessary. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, two segments left to go tonight in a show that I do not want to have end. We're talking in the last break about the election. And I said before this evening, we could continue to give you post-election recap and try to read the tea leaves. But the fact of the matter is, whatever happened on election night is over. I had one vote, so I had one out of about 150 million, and that was that. And now it may go to the courts if we're lucky, but we have no control over that either. What we do have control over is our families, our children, and our local communities. And as my friends and I were talking during the break, people without hope have no future. And if you are reliant upon the media to encourage you, not only would you not reproduce and have the hope enough to foster children, you would commit suicide, as so many white men are doing, by the way. So many whites, especially working class whites, are getting hooked on opioids and painkillers and just dying. Because there is no encouragement, there is no hope, there is no spiritual nourishment in their life. Well, let me tell you, it exists. It exists on this radio program, but much more than that, and much more importantly than that, it does exist in the real world. Now, I am just bringing you an example from one pocket of our Southern expression this evening. And I hope you have been as encouraged as I have been over the course of the last 2.5 hours as we have brought on one man after another here in South Carolina to share with you their story and their experience and how they are pursuing the future as we move forward. We talked about it. We're not fighting for just the past. We're fighting for the present and the future as well. Well, now we are coming back to, again, the founder of the feast, the man who put this entire weekend together and everything we've been talking about and everything that is going to be growing from this as they move forward in this particular part of South Carolina. So you've listened to the show, my friend, as well as everyone else who has been tuned in this evening. Obviously, the people here on site, the people outside, the people listening in on the speakers. What do you think about the guys that have come on since you?
I think they're all great. We have a high caliber group of young men. They represent us well, and I look for them. The older I get, to carry that torch, and that's what they're built to do, and that's what their mindset is.
Has anyone ever seen, this is just a very quick departure, has anyone ever seen the movie The Social Network, where it talks about the founders of Facebook? So there's the two.
I don't watch TV games.
Well, we got one guy, Hunter's seen it. So in that movie, it talks about the two twins that actually founded Facebook, and Zuckerberg kind of took it away. Well, they're sitting right here on the couch. I mean, there they are right there. I don't remember the Winklevoss twins or whatever, but these strapping. Look, here's another thing. Listen, guys, we're talking about strong, sturdy men, not just in character and in principle, but in physical stature as well. It all is important. It is all important, and this is what we're hearing. I mean what I said is a compliment. If anybody's seen the movie, you know what those guys look like.
And that's another thing that I want to do. We want to sharpen minds, but we want to build our bodies as well. We have been couch potatoes. We have watched the bread and circuits. We've ate the pizza, drank the beer, and been slothful.
Did you see anybody in the Confederate Army that looked like the average Southern man today?
No. No. We, and that's, you ask what has happened to our people since that time. There's D.H.
Soy.
Lawrence. Well.
Among other things.
D.H. Lawrence back in 1922, and I do like his surname, but this is a quote from him. Men fight for liberty and win it with hard knocks. Their children, brought up easy, let it slip away again. Poor fools. And their grandchildren are once more slaves. Well, James, we're slaves no more. We are the awakened Saxon. Our enemy call themselves woke. We are the awakened Saxon.
Well, you know, I actually just, in watching all of the Trump supporters who were in Washington, D.C. for the MAGA march a few days ago, watching them get attacked by the orcs. I mean, we are actually living through Tolkien's trilogy right now. I mean, this is we're living through that in real time, and watching these despicable creatures attack these decent American citizens who turned out for the sitting president of the United States. I mean, now to support the sitting president of the United States is the equivalent of supporting the most outlandish caricature of what a so-called quote unquote white supremacist must be like. But I watched them get attacked. Families get attacked by these Antifa, these Black Lives Matter terrorists, and it conjured up the Rudyard Kipling poem, "When the Saxon Began to Hate."
Yes,
and you know, listen, there is such thing as a righteous hatred. I mean, the Bible speaks of it. We should hate the things that are sinful and the things that go against our Christ. But watching those families get attacked, if the Saxon ever began to hate again. We could have a reckoning quite Ricky Tick. I'm not advocating for any sort of lawlessness or violence, of course, but this is what's being visited upon us. All I am asking for is that our people stand up unapologetically and say, this is who we are. We're not apologizing for it anymore. We're not going to back down anymore. And if you come after me, you will be met with resistance, however that may manifest itself. And in the case here, it is obviously with a fellowship of like-minded people, family people, tax-paying people, hardworking people who've come together under the banner of the cross, under the banner of the Confederacy, which is, of course, our heritage here in this part of the world. But we talked about that picture earlier, the picture of the knight, the death, and the devil. But you also have a picture of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And underneath it, it reads, "For us and our posterity," along with the scripture verse, Deuteronomy 28:43.
Yeah, and anybody can look it up. And that's the position we're in right now. You have some that honor the ashes. And what we're going to do is we're going to relight the flame. We'll be the light in this dark winter. And we invite y'all to join us. Be your own hero in all things. Do your duty. And you asked earlier, who is a Southern hero or, you know, someone's favorite Southern hero? I like Mans Jolly. He was a Southern Avenger.
Tell us about him. For anybody who may not know. Not me, of course, but.
Well, the
no,
best
me too.
The best thing to do is to look up Pastor John Weaver's story about the Southern Avenger, about Mans Jolly. And we're pretty much the Jolly Boys.
Well, John Weaver has been on this broadcast in times past and for previous Confederate History Month installments. Great man of God. You know, I really appreciate the people who can blend our faith with our heritage, and I like the fighting men. I like men who will fight. Look, obviously, we can't go out and join ranks and go out and storm the keep and, you know, have a Pickett's charge right now. That's not the circumstances that are presented to us. We have to fight in the arena that is given to us at this time. They had a different set of circumstances. I say they, and I'm pointing to the pictures of the heroes on the wall here at the clubhouse. They had a different set of circumstances. They could call an army. They could go fight. If we could join an army, if we could go fight, and it'd be something that was sanctioned by our government as theirs was, that's what we would do. But we don't have that opportunity right now. But we can do what we are doing with the opportunities that are presented to us. For me, I don't have the opportunity to do what you've done here, to build what you've built here. I had the opportunity to get into radio, and for the last 16 years, cultivate a program that brings forth this message. You've had the opportunity here to do something different. And in some ways more impactful, certainly different. Everybody has to look for those open doors. Everybody has to honestly assess what their situation is, what they're able to do with their circumstances. The least anyone can do is contribute to those who are serving on the front lines in a very public way. Everybody can donate something, even if it's just filthy lucre. But above and beyond that, people may be able to do the things that you mentioned earlier, and the music's playing, so we're about to take our last break of the night. But people can have these gatherings in their living rooms.
Yes.
Everybody's home can be an oasis. Everybody's home can be a church.
It's not going to cost you anything to do that, but it's going to win you everything.
We'll be right back.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
How many shows do you do in 16 years? You got to remember, for the first several years, we were Monday through Friday. It was only after, I believe, about 2008 that we switched to the weekly format, where every show would be an event and everybody could have a week to catch up on it if you missed it. And anyway, over the years, how many shows have we done? 1,000? Probably. I mean, at least. Tonight's show, though, will be one I never forget. And it's not the last that we're going to do here. We were just talking about that in the break. We will come back next year. Folks, hard to say anything we haven't already said at this point, but I do hope in some small way. You'll never be able to feel it the way I felt it if you weren't here in person. But I hope in some small way we have been able to transmit to you a sense of, well, again, hope, encouragement, and inspiration. Our people are alive. Our people are still existing. And much more than that, they are fighting. I asked our host a moment ago, we got one segment left. What can we share with the audience that we haven't already said? And he hit it out of the park with his answer. I don't want to repeat it. I don't want to set him up. I'm just going to ask him to say it again to you.
Well, James, what we're facing is the same fight that all of our forefathers have faced. It's the same fight that has been going on since the beginning of time. It's a fight between the children of light and the children of darkness. Their tactics change, and we have to adapt to that. But that is exactly what we're dealing with today and what our posterity will deal with in their time. What we have to do is prepare them for that enemy. The best thing we can do is cut off the TV. Get to know your family again. And unfortunately, get to know your family for the first time. We face a very dark time in our near future. And we have to become each other's best friends and heroes. We're not going to be able to rely on the government. We've abdicated too much to the government. God knows we need to have a government, but we need to have a righteous government. And until that comes about, we have each other. Instead of dickering with the enemy, trying to win them over, which will never happen, no matter how much you apologize and self-hate and self-flagellate, what you need to do is get strong and stand. At the end of the day, doing all you can do, just stand. But you have to know the foundation you're standing on, and that's what you need to learn.
Just stand. What a powerful message. What an important message. What a time-sensitive message. And you're also right about another thing. This has been a battle that has been waging since the Garden of Eden. I mean, if you want to go back that far, a battle of good versus evil. And in good versus evil, the sides take different forms throughout the generations and throughout the centuries. But we are fighting the same battle that our Confederate ancestors fought. And it continues to this day, and it will continue until Christ returns. But we have to do our duty. I mean, that was Robert E. Lee's admonition to our people. Do one's duty. You should never wish. You cannot do more. You should never wish to do less. It sounds easy, but far too many of our men have shirked in their responsibilities.
It's not easy, James. That's what makes it so rewarding. Because it is hard.
But it wasn't easy for them either, but it seemed like to a man they did it.
You do your duty when you're a real man. You do what you say you're going to do, when you say you're going to do it, and how you say you're going to do it. You move heaven and earth to honor your word. Your actions are your fruits.
And what's stopping, all right, powerful message. What's stopping any given man or woman tuned in tonight from doing that duty? If you can do it, and I can do it, and Matt and Hunter and the other people, Pat and the other people, Johnny, who have been on with us tonight, can do it. What's stopping anyone from doing it?
Only themselves and their own limitations, swallowing the poison piped into their televisions and their media systems. Self-doubt. We listen to the enemy too much. Cut the enemy off. Listen to your inner spirit.
Yeah, it's hard to be healthy if you're piping in poison into your body and into your mind every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With
cyanide doesn't taste good. So when someone feeds you antifreeze, which tastes sweet, you'll keep drinking it. It'll kill you.
Well, we mentioned living through Tolkien's pageant here. How many of us, how many of our kinsmen, not us here tonight, God knows, but how many of our kinsmen feel like King Theoden and Wormtongue, you know, the strong king of the people in that story, who just continued to imbibe in this poison, and he rotted until he cut the poison out, and then he was vigorous again, and he was strong, and he was able to lead his people. That's a great story. I mean, there are really literal parallels between the fiction there and the Lord of the Rings and what our people are facing on many different levels, not the least of which that our enemies actually look like the orcs. But
they look like a lot of the villains through our past history.
but the point was, you mentioned disconnect from that. In that story, when the king was disconnected from that poison that was whispering into his ear incessantly, he became strong again.
Well, and that's one thing I'd like to say is, you know, man says ignorance is bliss. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You're not going to get knowledge on the mass media. That's the enemy poisoning you, poisoning your family, dividing your family, creating the social cesspool that we have today.
I've got an important question that just came to me, and it's one that needs to be addressed.
I'm happily married, James.
So the enemy tonight is going to hate our message. That's what hate speech is. Thank you, Sam. That's what hate speech is. A message that our enemy hates. Over the course of the 3-hour broadcast tonight, we have not taken shots, really. I mean, a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, our enemies look like the orcs or whatever. But there's been not any hate speech on this program tonight. It has been a love of our history, a love of our faith, a reverence for our ancestors. That is, to them, something that they hate. What is it about our message and what we're experiencing this weekend that our enemy hates? There is hate in this world. It exists, and it's a one-way street. They hate us. They hate our message. They hate our existence. We haven't spent 3 hours tonight denigrating those with whom we disagree. We have spent 3 hours tonight uplifting those and honoring those that we love. It's been a message of love tonight. What did they hate about our message?
Just like the parasite Dracula, the blood-sucking parasite. You hold up the symbol of light, the Christian cross, it repels them. I'm not interested in winning the enemy and spending time thinking about the enemy. My past profession, I spent a lot of time thinking about my enemy. That was my job. I spend my time now focusing on what I love, but what I love, but what I hate, and vice versa. I'm loving our people, and in doing that, we'll defend them.
It's a battle that's been raging since God created man, and exactly. It's a battle that will continue to rage long after we have been called home. But while we are here on this temporal plane, we must do our duty. We must stand for Christ. We must stand for our people. We must stand for our heritage. A man that would dishonor his noble ancestors is no man to me. Thank you for setting an example for the rest of us to follow. Thank everyone who has come out tonight. Thank everyone who has been on this program this happening that we have filled to the greater odds. And Dixie and I, who are tuned in this evening, that there are people who are a lot like us, like you've heard from. You can be that way too. There's nothing stopping you. Last word to you, my friend.
I would say, long live us. Long live the Saxon. Celebrate the Saxon. The Saxon is awakening. Be the hero you look for.
This story hasn't ended. This battle is not over. The last few decades have been dark, and they are darkening still. Perhaps our people need to suffer as the people in Russia suffered. I mean, who could have ever imagined that in the depths of despair that they faced under Stalin's communist Russia, that Russia may be the key to our survival as a people and as a faith on this planet now, as they are. Our people can turn it around too. Do what you've heard tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For our entire staff and crew, I'm James Edwards from South Carolina. We'll be back in Tennessee next week. What a great show. Good night, everybody. Godspeed.